Welcome back. It is part two of our conversation with Amy Walls of Thimbleberry Financial and Shanna Tinja from Heritage Financial Strategies. In this episode, we're going to talk about what it looks like to get started with a financial planning first advisor. Amy, what does it mean to be a financial planning first advisor?
A financial planning first advisor really is an expression that refers to an advisor that focuses on their work with a client at the beginning of that relationship as being around the financial plan. And the difference from other advisors is that most advisors will start with the investments. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to an advisor and you say, hey, I've got $500,000 to invest, they'll take that money and invest it. With a financial planning first advisor, they're going to work with the client to create a financial plan to understand the client's complete situation, to know what the best thing to do with that $500,000 is before doing anything with the investments. Why we like to do this? I tend to share with people that, you know, you can take this vision you have of the rest of your life, right, Jag? You and your wife, for example, they're not going to be the same vision, but
we have been talking about that second home in Hawaii lately. So for now, at least that lines up.
Well, that's great that part of it does. There's always going to be those subtle differences. So we can take that vision you each have once we understand it and we can put it on a puzzle, right? That vacation home, your tax situation now, your tax situation in retirement, the way that you've saved for retirement, your other goals in between, those are all pieces of your financial puzzle. And they all play a role in making that vision that you each have for the rest of your lives as beautiful as it can be. So the financial planning being the first component really makes sure that we're looking at the whole picture to say what's the right thing to do before we act, right? Because we could have someone do something from an investment standpoint, but until we've looked at the whole picture, does it really make sense? You don't know for sure.
I think that's a great point, Amy, because I think about people who win Powerball and they have all this money and maybe somebody's like, okay, you need to invest in XYZ and ABC, but what about the money that you've got to live off of? What about the plan to make sure that the money lasts? And it may seem like a lot of money, but we've all heard stories of people who've won a lottery and lost everything because they didn't have a financial planning strategy. They just got excited by all the bells and whistles and shiny objects.
Mm-hmm.
I'll interject here. I think that happens a lot in our industry is that there's the newest, coolest investment that has the most bells and whistles. And the advisor gets all excited about it, learns how to sell it, and gets a lot of training around it, and then goes out and sells it to everybody that walks through the door because it feels like a good fit. But without the plan being created to show how it's going to impact the client, it might be a great product. It might be a wonderful investment, but it might be exactly the wrong investment for that particular client.
So Shanna, you started in another area of the financial industry when you first set out mm-hmm. and then ended up completely changing course in your perspective, right?
Yeah, I totally did. So I started with a different firm who shall remain nameless, a big box firm that you would recognize if I said the name. And they taught me a lot of really great things. I'm super happy that that's where I started, but I really learned how to sell investments first and kind of do financial planning as an afterthought. And I really got good at it. I enjoyed it. My clients were benefiting from it. So it really felt like a win-win until I started looking at the other side of the coin and seeing some of the impacts of some of these choices on the longer-term strategy. And so about 3 years ago, I really shifted 180 degrees in my approach and I could not be happier. And I think I'm doing a much better job servicing my clients for the long term than I used to. And so it was shortly after that that I met Amy, and it really reaffirmed that I was headed down the right path because there are so few of us that do it this way.
So what does it look like to become a client of yours? How is it different than your typical cookie cutter advisor?
So when someone comes to us, our initial meeting involves a lot of questions that someone may not expect to get into. Mm-hmm. We're going to not only talk about what they've done so far from an investment perspective, but we're going to understand their family, the family dynamics. That's kids, that's parents, that's siblings. It's life expectancy. What does longevity look like on both sides of their family? We get into what they most want to achieve in life and what their biggest fears are, along with all that financial data. So the financial planning goes really in depth with clients based on who they are and what's important to them. The next step, once we decide to work together and we know that we can really help and feel like it's a fit And I will just pause to say fit is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing that an advisor and a client can have. So it is really important that people, if I make the financial decisions for my family, if I'm really meeting with a true financial advisor that does planning and looks at the whole picture, I can't enter into that relationship until my husband has also met with that advisor and everybody is on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So once we're there, then there's a financial planning agreement that kicks off the relationship. And basically that outlines my responsibilities, the client's responsibilities. Some of that is around data, right? Clients have to provide certain information to us for us to do our jobs. Not doing that or deciding, oh, I'll give you snippets of it. It's a little bit like asking a CPA to do your taxes and then withholding your tax documents. So clients do have a responsibility for providing information. And then, you know, there's certain things that that agreement's going to say that we're going to look at, like retirement portfolios and retirement planning or cash flow planning. That's something that for our clients, we're regularly looking at, especially because we work in tech and there's so much equity compensation that we have to look at how cash flow is impacted for those clients to be able to make any sort of recommendation and understand the tax impact of those recommendations. It's basically what we're going to do and be looking at on a regular basis, and then what the client has to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And really being engaged in that process, right? One of the things that I tell my clients all the time is that it's a process in our both of our practices. It's not a once and done and here's a plan and good luck, go follow it. you know, we have a lot of work to do, and that work is not something you can do in a month or 2 months or 6 months even. It really is a multiple year process to sort of get the ship headed in the right direction and keep it floating. So that's why Amy and I both do an annual renewable contract where, you know, we get paid every year for our planning services. And every year the client is responsible for updating data and we're responsible for updating the plan. And we want to make sure that we're continuing to run on the same track, because those investments then that are bought as part of the implementation of the plan may not be appropriate 10 years from now, even though they might have been when we started. So it's up to us to really continue to evaluate that.
I'm going to jump in here for a second and say it's so important what you just said there, Shanna, to have your clients update things every year, because things change. They can change a lot in 5 or 10 years, but they can change a significant amount in just 1 year.
Yeah.
And if you're planning for a circumstance that is no longer true in the case of your client, that's a lose-lose for everybody.
It is. It absolutely is. And just to give you an example, a meeting with a client last week who, when we first started planning, told me they would never leave their home. They would have to be carried out of their home in pine boxes. They loved it that much. And in the meeting, they said, you're not going to believe what we're about to tell you, but we're getting ready to put our home on the market. And it sold this weekend within 24 hours of listing it. And so immediately that means our plan has to change.
Yeah.
So one thing too, that I think got touched on there with the planning, it's not so much about the plan. Like the plan is very important. It's the direction, right? But sometimes people have thought, ooh, it's about the plan, this like physical document. That's not it. The plan is actually a printout of everything we've looked at in order to compile our advice. So I sometimes get a little nervous when the focus is on the plan, rather than on the advice that comes from that plan and the evaluation. Another way to look at it is like when you go to your doctor for your annual physical, right? If you go in and they spend 2 minutes with you and don't check anything out and just say, oh, based on what you said, yeah, here's a prescription, go get this at your pharmacy. You'd be like, who is this quack? Right?
Right.
But when they've done blood work, they've checked all your vitals, they've done a full physical, and they give you a prescription and they find something that you didn't know was there or that you kind of had in the back of your mind going, oh, I kind of wonder if I have a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's reason for it. You know, that prescription is there for a reason. And so you're fixing that. That's the same as the advice and the plan in the way that we do it and why we charge for it, right? Your doctor doesn't say, oh, if I find something from your blood work, I will refund you. It doesn't work that way. They're spending the time and energy having that lab work done and evaluating it. Same thing for us.
It really comes down, I think, to the how and the why, Amy. Shanna's been nodding the last couple minutes that you've been speaking here, and I think we're all on the same page here, is that it's the how and the why. If you don't understand what somebody's motivations are and what emotions are driving those decisions, the plan's worthless.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they're not telling us things or intentionally withholding things, then it's like going into the doctor and asking for a prescription, but not being willing to explain your symptoms. So it's super important that we know all of those things. And also, you know, one of the things that got touched on a minute ago is, you know, the reason why we charge for the plan is because, and I tell this to my clients, I don't want to have a dog in the fight on what you decide to do with your investments. I've already gotten paid for my advice. I would love the opportunity to implement the plan for you, but that's not what my advice is hinging on. If you go to a lot of other firms, like the previous firm that I used to work at, they give you a free financial plan that looked really beautiful, but the goal of that financial plan was to get your assets to manage. That is not our goal.
Right.
So Shanna just touched on that because people pay a fee for the financial planning and the advice, if you will, that if they don't implement with us, it's okay. Our time has been paid for.
Yeah.
Another thing that that really lets us do that you're not going to see many advisors out there doing is recommending that maybe a client keep an old work retirement plan, a 401k, 403b, that they don't roll it into an IRA with the advisor.
That's interesting.
And that's a recommendation that both Shanna and I will regularly make. Now, the reason that we'll recommend it and we'll say it's not in the client's best interest to roll that into an IRA is because it limits the ability of the client to do backdoor Roth conversions.
Okay.
For example, they'd have to probably convert those dollars if they did move it into an IRA in order to make a backdoor strategy work. So there's reasons not to do certain things that mean an advisor is going to get paid less because they're going to manage less money. But it's the right thing for the client. And if you're not charging a fee for that advice, then what's going to get an advisor to make those recommendations?
Yeah.
Really comes down to how you're being compensated and how that will affect how you can advise a client in their best interest as opposed to yours.
Yeah, absolutely. That's important to both of us.
It is very much so. Can I touch on another topic here that I don't think we really intended to talk about today, but I think it ties in very closely to what we're talking about. And that is, if you looked around at the world of financial advisors, what most of the media is going to be sharing is that there are brokers that are registered with FINRA, and there are financial advisors that are fee-based, RIA only, or that really report or are supervised by the SEC. Okay, and I'm throwing out a lot of terms here. It usually sounds like, Shanna, would you agree that the choice a consumer has to make is between a broker dealer that is commission based and an RIA that is fee based.
Yep.
And that's the only choice you have.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it looks.
It's absolutely the way it looks. And the only person that is a fiduciary is the RIA only advisor. Well, the reality is that is not true. The RIA scenario typically is one in which advisors are paid a percentage of the assets under management.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't automatically make them a fiduciary, because just in the example that we just gave of do a backdoor Roth, that advisor and their team is now probably getting paid less.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make sense. There is a third option that doesn't get talked about, and that is a hybrid. Both Shanna and I are hybrids, meaning we can do work on the commission-based side and we can do work on the RIA side. Now, 99% of the time, our work is on the RIA side and is more fiduciary. So why I love, and I mean love being a hybrid, is because sometimes there are things that are right for a client that don't exist on the RIA side, but that are available on the commission side, and they're less expensive for the client. So why would I not do that?
Mm.
If I'm doing the best thing for my client, I need to have both sides available.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why Amy and I think both haven't gone to fee only. There's a big push towards that. And I will never do that as long as I have the choice, because there are just some products that have not been developed for the fee-based side that we have access to that may be better options for our clients.
Yeah. There's also, I'll also share, you know, with us working a lot in tech and in healthcare and in my practice, our clients have some pretty big insurance needs. Now, I don't enjoy doing insurance for clients. My team does not enjoy it. it is not a fun thing to go through with clients, but it's a necessary thing. And there are complications and differences between policies. And if I tell a client, because I am fee only, you need to go get this insurance policy, and they go out to an insurance agent that is just commission-based and doesn't have a wide selection, or, you know, I have a surgeon that needs a very specialized disability insurance to protect their income if they can't work.
Sure.
Then I actually think I'm doing my clients a disservice if we don't have the resources to help them with that, because otherwise they're doing a lot of back and forth and go between. And that's just a nightmare for everybody. And I'm not sure they get the right thing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy, because that's something that I didn't know. I just from watching TV and reading the news, is that thinking is it was one or the other, and that these hybrid advisors like the two of you really can have a number of tools at your disposal to be able to serve your client's best financial interests. So Amy, if somebody wants to reach you, what are the best ways to find you?
Our website's a great choice, and that is at thimbleberryfinancial.com.
Shannon, what are the best ways to reach you in Phoenix down at Heritage?
Yeah, for sure. Website as well, which is heritagefinancialaz.com.
Excellent. Pleasure talking to both of you. I've been working with both of you for quite some time, so it's very enjoyable to be having a conversation with you guys together. So take care, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Thanks, Jag.
Bye.
Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative. Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Thimbleberry Financial are not affiliated. Cambridge does not offer tax or legal advice. Thimbleberry Financial is located at 650 Northeast Holiday Street, Suite 1600, Portland, Oregon, 97232.